Today, the Trump administration delayed what would have been the first endangered designation for a bee species in the continental U.S. a day before it was to take effect. Now, remember, we reported that on January 11th, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service adopted a rule to extend federal protection to the rusty-patched bumblebee. Federal law requires a 30-day waiting period before this kind of new regulation can take effect. That waiting period would have ended tomorrow. But on January 20th, Inauguration Day, the Trump administration issued a 60-day freeze on new regulations. And that includes this designation for the rusty-patched bumblebee, so to be continued. But meanwhile, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has also been petitioned to put the yellow cedar tree on the endangered species list. It grows from Northern California to Alaska. Its wood has both commercial and cultural value, and it's in decline, scientists say, because of a warming planet. Elizabeth Jenkins from Alaska's Energy Desk has more.
Wayne Price is working on a 12-foot-tall totem pole in a studio in Haines, Alaska. He uses a tool called an adze to shape an eagle and wolf design. Price has been carving for 45 years. He's about 6 months into this project, which includes carving not one, but two totems.
All of it's made out of yellow cedar.
Price says what makes yellow cedar a valuable material is that it's resistant to rot. That's good because the totems he's carving will make up a new sign for the local veterans housing complex. Traditionally, Alaska Native people use the bark from yellow cedar to weave blankets and clan hats. They use the trees to carve paddles and canoes. Price says there's a Tlingit creation story that highlights its importance.
That the killer whale was made out of red cedar and it floated too high. And it was made out of spruce and it didn't last very long. But when it was carved out of yellow cedar, that it floated right and was given life and was the creation of the killer whales.
Price buys most of his yellow cedar from a nearby mill. But in the past decade, he's noticed more dead standing trees. And he's not alone.
Essentially, yellow cedar's freezing to death.
That's Brian Buma, an assistant professor of forest ecosystems at the University of Alaska Southeast. Buma recently released a paper on how much yellow cedar could decline in the next half century across its entire range. His team pinpointed actual yellow cedar trees from California to Prince William Sound. And with current climate projections, BMO is able to capture a glimpse of what that future could look like for yellow cedar.
So it's suggesting major changes. We don't think it's going to go extinct in 50 or 60 years, but it is going to look like a very different forest in large parts of Southeast.
BMO says so far, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, and California combined has lost about 7% of its yellow cedar. That's about a million acres of trees. In the next half century or so, those states could lose another 8%. Buma says yellow cedar is particularly vulnerable in the spring. In a normal year, a blanket of snow is there to insulate the roots.
Climate change is taking away that blanket. So when the temperature goes to 33 on average, say, during the winter, we don't get snow, we get rain. And if we do get a cold snap, the soil gets very, very cold, and that kills yellow cedar.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was petitioned to put yellow cedar on the endangered species list in 2014, but it still has a ways to go before a decision is made. A Fish and Wildlife spokesperson says there's a backlog due to federal funding issues. And that's just as well with Owen Graham.
It would be bad if they listed it. If they did, it would just be politics, not because of science.
Graham is the executive director of the Alaska Forest Association, a timber industry group. He says yellow cedar is a commercially valuable wood. On average, it can bring in about $2 million a year. And Graham thinks there's nothing unusual happening with the tree's decline. Right now, there's only a few hundred timber jobs left in Southeast Alaska. That number is expected to shrink as the industry is forced to move away from old-growth logging. So Graham says, why take yellow cedar off the table, too?
I mean, that's why these environmental groups are trying to get it listed, because it would cause a lot of economic havoc and put people out of work.
This is a bowl of warm water with a strip of cedar bark.
Ricky Tagaban is a Tlingit artist who lives in Juneau, Alaska, and he's been weaving in the Chilkat tradition for about 7 years. He uses slivers of the bark to spin into warp, a stiff thread he weaves together. He says he is worried about the die-off of yellow cedar. It can mean having to substitute a different material into his work. But Tagaban doesn't think the government officials should be in charge of its management.
The point of colonization is outside groups coming in and controlling resources.
He says for thousands of years, indigenous people collected yellow cedar sustainably.
If you compare the way of life that came out of that 10,000 years of stewardship with the changes that have happened just in the last 200 years, it's insane the difference, you know. So the words like management is not stewardship.
For now, listing the yellow cedar as endangered remains up in the air. In the past, congressional Republicans have tried to weaken the law. And with the new Trump administration, all bets are off. For Here and Now, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Juneau.